Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, for your kindness. Lord, we are here tonight because you are here. We thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. We thank you, Lord, that you give good gifts to your church. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We thank you that you are the one who come alongside us. You're the one who reveals Jesus to us. You're the Spirit of truth. And we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So we thank you for freedom in this house tonight. Come, Lord, and have your way. And come and just do something special in each one's heart tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So yeah, if you have your Bibles, you can follow on the screen. So like I said, I felt very, very stirred in my spirit to talk about fear. And the effects of fear in the body of Christ. I've seen how people that are very gifted in the body of Christ can be held back from stepping forward. Whether young or old, God has gifted each and every one of us to do something in this earth. Amen? Whether it's behind the pulpit, whether it's in the marketplace, education, different spheres of influence, you have a voice and you have something to give. But I've seen how many people have been kept back because of the spirit of fear. And so earlier this year, God spoke to me about it's time to deal with the spirit of fear. And there's a spirit that wants to bully God's people. Have you ever been bullied in school? Yeah, Liesl says yes. I've been bullied in school, and to be on the receiving end of that is not nice. You feel intimidated, you feel crippled, and that's what that spirit wants to do. He wants to cripple you and intimidate you. But let's first read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given you and me a spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. And fear comes to cripple us. And I've seen how that spirit wants to cripple the church, cripple believers. It's amazing coming here tonight during worship. You know, faith is stirred up. There's expectation. But I know the challenge will come when we leave this building at home tomorrow during the week. And Mark chapter 4 says that the enemy comes right away. He comes immediately to test the word. And so a bully spirit, I call it a bully spirit, wants to cripple the church. Let's look at what the definition is of a bully. A bully is a person who habitually seeks to harm or intimidate those whom they perceive as vulnerable. Seeks to harm or intimidate those they perceive as vulnerable. So I've seen how that spirit wants to persecute, torment, and oppress God's people. That's behind that bully spirit. And the enemy, anything he does is through the spirit of fear. Anything the enemy does is through fear. Anything God does is through faith. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when we come to him, we must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God rewards his people when we come to him with expectation. The enemy's way is to work through fear, to cripple you, to intimidate you, to crush you. And one of the explanations Oxford Dictionary gives there about a bully is persecution. Isn't that interesting? A bully spirit wants to persecute you as the believer. And we know scripture says that persecution comes for the word's sake. So even sitting here receiving faith, persecution will come for the word's sake, because Satan knows the power of God's word. The word in you will change you. The word in you will change your marriage, will change your school, will change your community. I remember when we lived in Durban a few years ago, Karen was pregnant with Nathan, and we've been trying for a couple of years to fall pregnant. And so 7 years later, Karen fell pregnant, and we rejoiced. We thanked the Lord for the miracle. In fact, Nathan's Zulu name is Mangaliso, which means miracle. We gave him a Zulu name because he was born in Durban, in KZN. And so that Zulu name is a reminder of us of God's faithfulness. Because man said it cannot be done, but God had other plans. So through faith, we received. But about 32 weeks of Karen's pregnancy, there were some complexities with her pregnancy, and she started to bleed. So much so, we had to rush her to the hospital, which was about an hour's drive from where we lived, because we lived on a village. And I must be honest, as I drove the car and Karen sat next to me, fear wanted to intimidate me. The bully spirit wanted to tell me, see this, you've believed, what is God doing? Is it really worth trusting in the Lord? And so we actually agreed and said we will not tolerate the spirit of fear. And so God gave us a song to sing, and the song is Fear, He is a Liar. Fear, He is a Liar. And we played that song over and over and over as we drove in the car, about an hour's drive. And that built our faith. It shifted our focus from the current situation to what God is saying. And Scripture says in Romans 10:17, it's not on the slides, but Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when fear comes, He wants you to listen to or pay attention to what He has to say about your situation. Us as believers, let's be honest, sometimes we feel intimidated. We feel that the enemy wants to paralyze you as the believer. Do you really think God will come through for you this time? And so your faith is being challenged. So as we drove in the car, faith started to rise up. The song definitely helped us. We started to confess God's word. Went back to the promises God gave us about Nathan. So Nathan, God gave me the promise back in 2006, before I met Karen. God told me that I will have a boy, and his name will be Nathan. 7-8 years later, Nathan was born. But I had to stand on God's word. And maybe you have testimonies about something similar, where a promise was given, and you know you heard from God, but then nothing happened. And we have to understand that when persecution comes, it's for the word. Did God really say? And so that's when you have to stand strong. So anyways, we got to the hospital. She had to stay in the hospital for 2 nights. And I was on the phone. I called my dad. I said, please come in agreement with me that I will remain in faith. Because I cannot speak words of doubt right now. I cannot speak words of unbelief right now. Because the spirit of fear wants to cripple and paralyze me and steal our baby. And so I locked in behind the shield of faith. Remember the shield of faith? Ephesians chapter 6. The shield of faith that quenched all the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you have time, go read Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God. We are at war. Amen? We are at war. So that's why every day, take on the armor of God. The sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. So I had the sword of the Spirit. I had God's word that I had to declare and speak over Karen's body and over little Nathan in the womb at 32 weeks old. Long story short, with medical doctors, they did what they had to do, and Nathan was born at 41, 42 weeks. Full term, and even a bit more. So God is faithful. And that's an encouragement for me because we have to have these testimonies. We overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Revelation says, what is your testimony? What are you working on? I always say to people, give the Holy Spirit something to work with. You are right now maybe going through a valley, a trial, a test of some sort. God is working in you a testimony. Because the testimony will encourage other believers. In the midst of it all, God is giving you authority. I just want to share with us a couple of scriptures just to encourage us tonight. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, that translation says perfected love, casts out fear. Fear needs to be cast out. You don't tolerate fear. You deal with it. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Fear involves torment. During worship, I had a picture of someone. It's a lady. You're being tormented in your mind, in your thoughts. I believe God also set you free tonight. We're going to pray for you that spirit will leave you because fear wants to torment you, talking to you about who you are and who you are not, your identity. That's the challenge, isn't it, as believers? We don't have authority because we don't know who we are. And the enemy says to believers, who do you think you are? Where is your God? God also says to you, tell me, who's your daddy? If you know who your daddy is, confidence will come up. And because we work with the orphan and vulnerable children a lot, once they realize who they are, there's no stopping them. Because they come from broken places and hard places. But if an orphan heart can receive a father's affirmation and love, there's no stopping them. In fact, we had a ministry on the village where we lived in Durban, where we created a space for children to come in a few times in the week. We actually called that space, it was like a lounge. We call it Abba's Lounge. Abba as an Abba Father's Lounge, where they could come and just receive the Father's love. And what we've done, we actually wrote on little sticky notes, labels that people have spoken over them. Not good enough, failure, mislooking, you poor, you're not going to be anything in life, miserable, addict. Took those labels and we stick it on them, on their shoulders, all over their body. And we looked at those labels and we said to them, you see, these are the words that the enemy wants you to believe about yourself. Maybe people have spoken it over your life. And sadly, people you think knows better, they speak words that breaks people down. I always say hurting people hurt other people. And so there are these cycles of shame in families. But what we've done now, as a practical prophetic picture with those labels on them, we took a sword and we cut off those labels. And the sword is the word of God. So how do we replace those lies with God's word? The Bible talks about taking every thought captive that's against the knowledge of Christ. So speak God's word. Replace the lie with the truth. Amen. And meditate on God's word. Because fear wants to torment you. It could be the fear of man, fear of the unknown. I believe people here have been given words and visions that God is calling you to do something big. But fear keeps you back. What will people think if I do this? And so I really believe that you must go back to that. Go back to those words. That's why I keep a journal. I've done it for many, many years. And Bible says, although it tarries, wait for it. Maybe it's not for now. Maybe it's for later. But wait for it. Confess it. Declare it. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. Fear is, I love the song you guys did this evening. Fear, it's in that scripture or in that song about I speak Jesus. And you mentioned fear in there as well. Breaking fear. We speak Jesus. We speak the truth. And speak it over yourself. Every day when you wake up in the morning, speak God's word. Take scriptures and put it on the wall. Put it in the bathroom. I was at Stephen Venora's house again last week. Every time I walk into their bathroom, there are scriptures all over the wall. The Word of God. Why? Because we need to be reminded of God's Word. And that's my heritage. I grew up like that. When I was bullied in school, I had to go to God's Word. And I had to confront that spirit. I had to confront the lie. I had to confront the fear. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to advance. He wants us to break through. Romans 8 verse 15. I love this. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery or bondage to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You have not received the spirit of fear, of slavery, to fall back into fear. And I think there's the enemy's tactics. He wants you to fall back into it. You've been liberated, you've been set free, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, amen, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given you already. But Scripture says you did not receive that spirit of slavery, of bondage, to fall back into fear. And so don't let the enemy cause you to slip back. We often talk about people backsliding. Sometimes the enemy wants you to slip back into that spirit of slavery and bondage where you don't have authority. Because if he can keep you silent, he's gaining ground. If he can keep you from confessing God's word, he's gaining ground. Maybe in your family, in your finances, in your ministry, in your business, don't let the enemy gain ground. You speak God's word over your business. You speak God's word over your family. You declare the truth of God's word. Amen? So I don't care what your situation is. I know God's word has the answer for that. And just this whole thing about identity is very important when we talk about authority, because there is no authority if there's no true identity of who we are in Christ Jesus. Years ago, I was in some place, and I was just coming back from a meeting, and walking back home, there was this beautiful sunset, and God often speaks to me through nature. I love to hike, I love the outdoors. There was this beautiful sunset, and there was this tree, and then the sunset behind it. And I had this moment where Moses met with God on the mountain. And as you know, Moses' life was transformed, was changed forever. I was a Christian for many years prior to that moment. I knew about going to church, I knew about Christianity, but that moment, God imparted something about me being a son. And sonship gives authority. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And the more you grow in that knowledge on who God is and who you are in him, authority comes up. No matter what the enemy throws at you, you know who you are. You know that you know. Someone said years ago, you know in your knower. This is your knower. You know something. The lies are happening here, the battlefield of the mind, but in your spirit, in your knower, you know something. Speak from your spirit, not from here. Because often the enemy, this is his field of attacking you. This is where he attacks us, right? Thoughts, manipulation, reasoning, doubt, unbelief. But if you know something, you speak it. The spirit of faith is, I believe, and therefore I speak. I believe God is not a liar. I believe God is faithful. I believe God will not leave me nor forsake me. Therefore I speak it. It's the spirit of faith that gives you the authority. And so, I just want to encourage us, this may be old news to some of us, but God's word never changes. We can have lots of programs and lots of, you know, things we put together, but it's about the basics. And I felt the other day in prayer, you know, we all pray and trust God for revival. We want things to change. And revival doesn't come through programs. It comes through prayer. Revival doesn't come through great sermons. Great sermons come through great prayer, and great programs come from prayer. Revival come through prayer. And so it's my desire for my community to be changed, for our church to go to different spaces, because what we receive here is just to stir up something. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, stir up the gift that's in you. by the laying of my hands. Stir it up. And for me, pray in the Spirit. If you have to pace up and down, do it. It actually helps to move around a little bit. Praise and worship, praise God, sing songs, confess the word, pray in the Spirit. Because as we do that, you stir up the gift. You stir up what's maybe dormant. Maybe years ago you've received the word is just lying there. Stir it up. Stir it up by praying in the Spirit, worshiping the Lord. Remain in prayer. Remain faithful. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your faith. I always say to people, sometimes I don't understand God's timing. I don't understand everything, but I'm with Him. I'm not going to back down. I'm with Him. He's no man that he should lie. And God's plan for you is for you to advance. God wants us to advance, to gain new ground. It's a picture God gave me a while ago. We have to push back the forces of darkness. Stefan, can I hope for him to come, please? It says bench on his chest, so he's got muscle. Let's pretend, just for this moment, that I'm the devil and you're the believer. Okay. Yeah. So he's pushing me back, but you must move now as he's pushing back, okay? Yeah. He's pushing me back. And what's happening? As he pushes me back, he's gaining ground. So, thank you. So as we resist the devil, he must flee. Sometimes we are on the receiving end. You know, we get knocked down and we receive persecution, torment. Enemy is a spirit that wants to bully you, put fear in you, and you're on the receiving end. But God is saying, resist, push back. As we push back, we're gaining ground. So don't be silent. We're gaining ground in the Spirit first before it materializes in the natural. That's why I love intercession. I love coming together and praying, because as we do that, things shift in the atmosphere and we gain ground. Before you know it, you will see that person is now born again. Before you know it, that sick person is now healed. Before you know it, that broken marriage is now restored. Where did it start? In the private closet, where nobody sees you. Stay there. And the Lord gave me a picture, what happens when we pray. The more you pray, the more persistent you are in prayer, the deeper your roots go. The more you pray, the deeper your roots go. And then you become unstoppable, immovable. And I've read Paul saying this many times. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. When you're fully convinced and fully persuaded, there's no stopping you. There's authority on the inside. Amen? So many believers can quote the text, but they're not fully persuaded, because they've heard so-and-so talk about it, but they haven't spent time in the Word. They haven't spent time on their knees, praying, fasting, persevering. I've had to persevere many times, even at night, waking up between 1 and 3. I spoke to Vanora about this. Between 1 and 3, I know that something is happening in the Spirit, and I have to pray. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against your neighbor or your boss or whoever. It's against principalities. And I have to fight the good fight of faith. I have to fight in the Spirit. I have to endure. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Declare what God is saying about you, about your situation. The enemy wants you to quit. He wants you to cave in, but don't quit. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. You guys know the scripture. Jesus came and said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Jesus is saying, God has given me the authority. All authority has been given unto me. Now you go. So we're talking about delegated authority. Because Jesus has been authorized to defeat the enemy. He said, for this reason I was sent to destroy the works of the devil. So because of that, Jesus now told his disciples, you go. And I've seen how in prayer and in the word, time in prayer, authority rises to go. It might not be nations, it might not be overseas, it could be your neighbor, it could be next door, it could be at your school, it could be at work. Go with the authority God has given you. Just in prayer, again the other day, I had this vision that God gave me years ago, and I shared it with someone, I think it was you, Stefan, about the sword. So there's a bit of an echo here. About the sword, God's word being a sword, and in front of me was the sword, and Jesus was holding the sword, and he said to me, walk into it. Walk into the sword. And at first, I was like, I don't want to walk through something penetrating me. But my spirit knew about the invitation. The invitation was to meet with Jesus and to be intimate with him. And walking through the sword separated what doesn't belong in here. False motives, different agendas, and what remains is now pure. And so, talking about authority, if we speak from a place of purity, the gospel will not be contaminated. The gospel will be pure. And so that experience brought a shift in my heart, my approach about ministry, my approach about working with people. May purity be in your heart. Because God looks through the, you know, he looks into the heart. And so my prayer for you tonight, if there's anyone here tonight who feel ashamed, don't let the enemy hold you back. Sometimes he keeps you back from being in authority because of shame, because of your failures. And so I just want to pray for people tonight who feel that they've missed the mark and they've let God down. God is not intimidated by your fear. He's not intimidated by your failures, your shame, your weaknesses. Let faith arise. Let God have the final say. And I always say that this word is the final authority. Man will have his or her opinion about your life, about your marriage, about your destiny, but God's word has the final authority, for me at least, in my life. What he says, that goes. This ear hears a lot of other noises. Social media, whatever people says, but you have to switch it off, turn off the noise, and tune into God's word. Let faith arise. When faith arises in your heart, authority will come up. And so I'm going to just pray for us tonight that God will open your eyes to see deeper in the spirit. See deeper into what God has for you. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit. I'm going to close with this one verse. It's not on there. In Acts 1, Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So for us to be a witness, we have to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes, we receive authority. You are a witness. Amen. What have you witnessed? Have you witnessed God's faithfulness? Have you witnessed the miracles? Have you seen what God has done in your life personally? I've shared a few testimonies. What testimony do you have? And I think we need to do this more often. People share testimonies because it's encouraging the church. And as you hear this testimony, you might be in a similar situation in life groups. Let's share testimonies. Let's encourage each other because we haven't arrived. You know, we still diamonds taking shape. We're on this earth. But God wants us to advance. He wants you and I to take steps of faith. So today is Pentecost Sunday. We thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the promise of the Holy Spirit that we can receive power and we can do exploits. But it's about knowing Him. Knowing God and being faithful to Him. Amen. I'm going to pray for us, but I would love the band to sing that song again, I Speak Jesus. And as we worship, just think about maybe stuff in your own life that's hindering you from walking in authority. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you are right on time. I've got a word for someone tonight, maybe feeling like, when will God ever come through? When will this breakthrough come? God is on time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Thank you, Father God, that we can look to you tonight. Thank you for your promises that are yes and amen. Thank you, Father God, you've spoken a word over us tonight that we can trust in you, Lord. We will not tolerate fear. We will not be manipulated. We will not be bullied in Jesus' name. I break every lie of a people's lives, Father God, that's been tormenting them, paralyzing them. I break it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. We will not fall back into fear, but we choose to remain in faith, Lord, to remain in your love. Thank you for your perfect love, even right now, casting out fear in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, I pray for childhood wounds, where they've had traumatic experiences, Lord God. I pray that by the blood of Jesus, you will bring healing to that person right now. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. So we speak and we declare life and healing and peace in Jesus' name.